I would say it probably is what it felt like, meaning it's six chakra activation. Ra gave the very interesting point that associated with tingling or some kind of disturbed sensation at the third eye, forehead, that is associated with the unblocking. It's six chakra activation at the stage of unblocking. When there's no further unblocking but further activation, there is no sensation, it seems. There's minimal sensation as blockage is removed. And so feeling stimulation or itchy, sometimes, that's releasing, that's unblocking. As far as I know, those sensations are of unblocking, the result of activation, the result of all the lower chakras being cleared enough, not totally clear, but sufficiently clear, so that the energy can go from root to six. But that if or when the blockage is minimal, the sensation will be minimal, which is also the funny thing, like, when there's no more lower triad blockage, one doesn't generate emotional charge in situations. One doesn't go into aggression or sorrow or fear, particularly those three, or even desire. They just don't. It just doesn't come up. One is cool. One is empty. One is at ease. One is in peace. One is well. And nothing's coming up. It just doesn't come up. And so likewise, akin to mindfulness. If you're thinking, now I'm in mindfulness, you're not in mindfulness. And the only way to be, it's impossible to know in the state that the mind is attentive, because no thought is arising, I'm attentive. And that's really what a manasikara means. I was just thinking about that. There's one of the last couple of talks in the Views Action Path series is about Amanasikara, which is a teaching method or a teaching associated with practice of mindfulness coming from Maitripa, who was a Tibetan, it was actually an Indian yogi about 1,000 years ago. At the same time in England as they were killing Thomas Becket, Maitripa was talking about Amanasikara. Very different East-West, although there were troublemakers in India at that time as well. But religion was quite political in the West and became political in the East only much later. The teaching of Amanasikara means not Manasikara, which really means not non-subjective or non-conceptual attentiveness, which really means attentiveness beyond any concurrent sense that now I am being attentive. And so clarity is indescribable or description and explanation is not non-dual. Non-duality, you know, being in non-duality is not the same as, wow, now I'm feeling unity. No. And so likewise, six chakra bursting radiant feels nothing, but the whole room is light. the environment has been lit up by that level of six chakra activation transmission beyond even blockage, but that takes a long, long time, and I'm not there. But yes, I think absolutely for sure, or most likely, what you're saying, you had a six chakra activation. Yes, I think so, and that's associated with gratitude. You know, just as you experienced. So, okay. How about, the last thing I just want to say is that, yeah, you can say that that's a non-physical experience. It's an experience of the subtle body. It's an experience of the energy body associated with transformation of mind, right? Moving into gratitude and appreciation, giving thanks. That is really actually more critical, more essential kind of out-of-body, or not out-of-body, but non-physical experience than going out-of-body. depending on what's going on, you know, sending one to astral body across town and looking at something or other is less helpful than this type of non-physical experience as the result of purified mind. And so purified mind is more important than tricks and toys. Yeah, I mean, that's a valuable experience to the extent that you can understand it and integrate it in a helpful way to your worldview and sense of identity or beingness. You know, what does it say about you? What does it say about mind? What does it say about creation? It says a lot. Definitely a lot of people, or it's very common, for us to feel some fear and terror when certain paranormal experiences come up abruptly like that. It's very common to feel that. And I don't think you were trying to force anything then, so it wasn't that you were looking for cheap thrills. It's the cheap thrills seeking that's a problem for people. Like, hey, let's do astral sex. I'm going to go fly over to this girl that doesn't like me and have sex with her while she's sleeping. In the air above her bed. This kind of thing is really problematic. And, you know, most people, the Buddha, you know, everything was very clear, and these values were clearly understood 2,500 years ago by the Buddha and others, where transformation of mind is more important than the magical powers, including the paranormal experiences being sought in and of themselves, just for themselves, right? I want that, which is a kind of spiritual materialism. Hey. And Trungpa Rinpoche talks about that, and Buddhists understand that really well, because they set themselves apart from Hindus, where that's kind of common. You know, getting high, or getting into bliss, or getting the guru's touch Shaktipat and rolling around on the floor a few times is considered, you know, a great, great experience, which it may be. However, it's more likely people get attached to the powers and some kind of getting high rather than work through lower chakra blockages. So, and I did a talk on that, or I think a chapter in Universal Vision called The Miracle of Education. Gautama talked about that directly. So they're very familiar with magical abilities, and some of the monks today and have them, some yogis, obviously. It's a question of how they're valued and how they're understood in terms of their importance on the path. So that's absolutely right, that when one has the intention to play with those powers and or use them for self-aggrandizement, right? I want astral sex with her, or I want to see what they're doing behind the walls, or I want to show off to these people that I'm better than them or I have these powers, then yes, indeed, one can be met, one can make agreement, one can be offered alliance with negative entities and not know that that's what's happening. Yes, that's common. That's right, yeah. I mean, we are responsible for what we request others to do or not do. Inciting them to do something, yeah, like do it, hit him, come on, hit him, or not do it, you know. Oh no, you shouldn't go there, that teacher, you know, like parents who are afraid that their child is in a cult when he's actually like in a Buddhist temple, and then everybody, no cult is happening. We're karmically responsible, yeah, for what we encourage others to do or not do. There is karma there too. Yeah, you know, the thing I found is that Just in yesterday's group, I brought up the term parallax. There was a movie called Parallax View. Very strange title. Parallax is basically the phenomenon whereby the same object looks totally different according to the position and reference of the observer. If you're to the right of an object, it looks different when you're looking at it straight on than the person who's to the left of the object, to the left of you, you know? So, like, if we think about a pyramid, from the bottom right base, the peak looks totally different in what's going on from the bottom left base. And that's akin to the fact that people have different perspectives. And the same phenomenon may look absolutely different to two different people, right? Okay, we know that. Well, there are not a lot of people who can understand that. There are not a lot of people who can understand that your way of looking is valid for you based on your perspective, and mine is valid for me based on mine. And I can understand both of them. Or I can appreciate them both and then think about what that means, even that there are two. There are not that many people who can do that. Generally, they're just trying to get one view clearly. And when they get one view clearly, it's common that people say, that's it, I found it. I've got my answer. Just like they say, what's the cause? What's the reason? Hey, there are countless reasons. He's really that way. Well, no, he's also this way and the other way, and he's contradictory ways. And in fact, I was just talking to somebody in my dream last night, some 3D negatively, sort of negative woman, talking about the reality that there are levels of phenomena, shallow and deep, and one needs to take into account multiple perspectives simultaneously, and not assume that what one knows is the only, and trying to box people in, like, oh, you're really that way, huh? Is manipulation and negative action. The point is that people's mental capacities, I mean, we're trying to grow, you know, we're trying to learn. Every day we're trying to learn. There are very few people who are doing that, even in the spiritual communities. And they may be trying to figure out what their teacher's saying, but they're not trying to figure out what three teachings are saying and putting them together. And then, even if they are sincerely trying to figure out what their teacher is saying, or their tradition, they don't generally want to realize that there are limitations in what they're learning. and their own personal psychological makeup may be that they're going to become dogmatists and zealots about it. And they want the view that now I've found the final way, and I know better than everyone else, and this is the only right way. They may put it into that type of envelope. Right, learning to learn. We have to learn to learn. And that's where I come from, where I gave the talking about love, loving truth. How much do we love truth? That love of truth, or the love of truth, potentially covers all of the complex bases of learning, like you're saying. You're differentiating the bases, which are all true, and there are many more, like you're saying, you know. Being able to hold opposite positions side by side. Being emotionally capable of admitting I've been very wrong for a long time. Admitting that I don't like that I'm wrong, but actually this view is right, or you're right with your view, and I want to hold the right view, and then I have to change my life. Now I feel burden of responsibility, and then being okay with that. All of that is covered by loving truth, and so we learning to love truth is learning to learn. It's related. It's all like that. And you're absolutely right. There are very few people who think that that learning is anything beyond schooling. They actually feel that learning ends with graduation at school, or college or high school. And that's completely mistaken. And that's part of the problem that humanity, why humanity is so screwed up, and why humanity can't reconcile many religions. You know? Why can't they reconcile? It's been thousands of years, and they're still fighting each other based on religious dogma, doctrines that they're not trying to reconcile. They could, but they don't. You know, phenomenal understanding phenomena or description, and some are they're really quite different. I mean, it's like the difference between identity and function. You know, a being's function is not the definition of their identity, right? So somebody says you're smarter than those people. Well, that may be so as a function of intelligence or mental development or fifth ray, but that doesn't mean that their worth is any greater than the other. And so, in like blame the victim is not a devaluation of their worth. It's actually a statement regarding the laws of karma. And that statement of the law of karma is a statement or reflection of divine purpose or the nature of creation. So anyway, thank you very much. All very interesting as always. I hope it was helpful. Take good care of yourselves, and good night.